Or do we just want to keep it low key and just use like
Do we want to keep it
Twitter?
low key or
At
low key?
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz.
What up, Miss?
Not much. How are you?
I'm really tired.
Well, it's 12:35 and I'm still drinking my coffee, so.
I just finished my cup of tea.
That's how that's going.
What was my tea? It was something for energy. It was Yogi. Vanilla spice, perfect energy. That's my second cup, and we see where I'm at.
Yogi Bear.
I wish. I don't think.
Or Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra. Hanna-Barbera.
Yep.
It was not in a pick-and-dick basket.
They missed the opportunity on that packaging.
Well, I think it's because you're supposed to drink it if you're a yogi, not a bear.
Oh, I get it. Like yoga, yogi.
Yep.
I'm with you now.
On the same page.
Not all the time.
Sometimes.
Oh my goodness. So how are you?
I'm okay. I've hit the point of frustration with my jobs that at the end of my day, I just devolve into TikTok. And by that, I mean, I watch a bunch of TikTok and then I do stupid TikToks.
I don't see a problem with that because I like your TikToks.
Oh, because you're going to be in for a treat, because the other day I was like, I'm going to do this, and picked out my most frustrating cosplay to put on for literally a like 15-second clip.
Oh.
And what was even better is it ends with me like crouched on the arm of my couch because I was going to jump off of it. And all of a sudden the door opened and my roommate came. Oh. And I'm just standing in full Attack on Titan scout gear. And I'm just like, what's up? Ring light in my face, and she just goes, what's up?
Oh, just making a TikTok, you know. This is normal in people's houses now.
I was just like, you know what? If you hear a thud, it's just me jumping from the couch, and if I don't get up, I might need help. But I'll let you know.
You need your life alert.
Yeah, I have fallen. Yeah, so now I'm doing that shit. Back on that bullshit.
Do you want to, would you like to give everyone your TikTok?
I can. It's real dumb. I say this and I'm like so happy. You can tell what point level of TikTok I'm at when I'm like, ooh, my video almost got 1,000 watches.
Did it really?
The one did, yeah.
That's so cool.
Let me see. The We Can't Be Friends video.
That's gonna be my first TikTok if I ever get around to it.
Got almost 1,000. And I have a second one in the mix because I'm dumb, so I made lists of videos I'm making.
Yeah, you have to keep organized. If you're going to become TikTok famous, you can't just half-ass this.
And I have like 6 drafts just waiting for me to throw up.
Oh, I need you to, I need a TikTok class.
I'm still learning. I don't know 90% of what I'm doing. And like more than half of my videos are 2 years old when I downloaded it for my first Colossal Con. And then did nothing with it, and then all of a sudden it blew up, and I was like, oh shit. So like my very first Joe video for Dead Mom got like 700 lit watches.
That's so cool.
And then I'm sitting at like almost 200 per video.
I get excited.
I'm living life with my 22 followers.
I'm one of them.
My brother made fun of me the other day, my little brother, who's literally only 2 years younger than I am, because he goes, I don't literally don't have any videos, and I have more followers than you. And I was like, how? But if anyone out there wants to follow my TikTok, it is one word, random chibi 13, R-A-N as in Nancy, D-O-M as in mom, C-H-I-B-I 13. And you could become my 23rd follower. Yep. And it's make dumb cosplay videos and stuff.
You have 23 followers. I have 2. And you're one of them.
Yeah, because I'm waiting for your videos, because you can sure as fuck bet I'm going to duet that shit. So make sure your duet's on, because I'm going to do it.
I don't know who this other person is. Apparently he likes to work out. I don't know.
Yeah, so there's that. Miss, do you want to give your TikTok too, since we're just tossing our TikToks out there?
I'll give my TikTok that I haven't done a video for yet. It's Spooky Miss 13. S-P-O-O-K-Y-M-I-S 13.
Whoop whoop. Yeah, so I have a lot of like, I'm going to have a lot of supernatural videos, cosplay videos. Speaking of cosplay, I have an interview with a cosplayer April 13th.
Whoa!
Cosplay!
Look at you go!
You know, I'm trying to, like I said, I'm back on my bullshit.
Well, I like it.
but should we get it back on our podcast bullshit?
I guess.
All right. You know, the thing that people came here to listen to.
Did they, though?
I think they came to listen to us. But they also come to listen to the things.
That's true.
So we are at the end of season 3.
This was a rough Yeah, this was a rough episode.
We did it. We're here.
Yes.
Which we're saying that is this is the shortest series season.
I know.
We're like, whew, we did it, guys. We made it. I don't know how, but we fucking did it.
Normally we'd have like 5 or 6 more episodes to get through.
I know. But yeah, so we are now on season 3, episode 16, the final episode of season 3, No Rest for the Wicked. And this came out May 15th, 2008, and takes place in New Harmony, Indiana.
Ooh, that sounds like a nice little town.
Anytime I hear Harmony, I just hearken back to Buffy and Harmony.
Since this is the end of the season, I have my end of the season, like, extra tiddly bits.
Yes! So excited.
So, this is a new one I don't think I've done before. Distance traveled throughout this season.
Okay.
The total distance traveled in season 3 is 12,345 miles.
Wow, so that literally is the road so far.
Yeah. The average distance traveled per episode of season 3 is 771.6 miles. That's actually down from last season, so they traveled less in season 3.
Wow. Well, I mean, I feel like we kind of kept going back or starting in the same spot in season 3. But we also have a shortest season. So does it take that into account?
Oh, I didn't even think about that, even though we just mentioned that. That might be why. Had they had 5 or 6 more episodes, they could have gone a lot farther.
Heck yeah, they could have.
Things that Dean ate in season 3. Not a lot, actually. Surprised they didn't show him eating a lot on camera, what Dean eats on camera. So 3 burgers, cake, ice cream, sausage, taco, pig in a poke.
And multiple times.
And something that was called unidentified.
Is that the tea? Are they counting the tea?
I don't know.
With the hair?
I don't just... Oh, maybe.
Because, technically they did kind of eat the hair. And...
Yeah, maybe that's it. You just identified unidentified.
Hey. It was just Bobby's hair.
Oh, God. Oh, by the way, to get back to TikTok, there's a guy that cosplays Bobby on TikTok.
That's phenomenal. Also, if you don't follow Kim Rhodes on TikTok.
Oh my God, you need to.
You have to.
You need to.
Oh my goodness, she's phenomenal. She's like everybody's mom, and she's just the funniest and the sweetest. And oh my gosh, if you don't follow Kim Rhodes on TikTok, you have to.
Every time she pops up, it just brings a smile to my face.
Oh my gosh.
It's so great.
She's the best.
Dean's alcohol consumption. He had about 6 on-screen drinks. He might have left one again.
I feel like everything you've mentioned is prime, like, I'm going to die last day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he should have had more.
I feel like he should have had more, too. Maybe they were doing more trying to find ways not to let him die, so there was less alcohol.
I mean, everything he ate, though, would have clogged his arteries.
Yeah, but these are on-screen drinks, so I'm sure, there was a lot of booze being had. Times Dean says, son of a bitch! Only 8. That's like a half a son of a bitch episode.
That is, that's literally a son of a bitch half the season.
Yeah. But if you're gonna, I thought there would be more son of a bitches.
Well, I think the Christmas episode, he wasn't allowed to swear.
Oh, that's true.
For language.
Major character deaths. 13 total. 10 of those were Dean and Mystery Spot.
Oh, I'm so glad they counted that. And I fucking love that episode.
Things that they went against. They had 5 demons, 3 monsters, 1 angel, and 3 ghosts, and 6 other, which are considered humans, witches, curses, etc. Now here's what everybody came here for. The plaid shirt count.
Yes.
Sam, we're almost 24 plaid shirts. There were only 16 episodes.
Oh, he changed. He had a change.
Almost 24.
Well, then you think this did include the mystery spot, and that was a lot of days. But he would have worn the same outfit, right?
I would
mystery spot. I think they did. Okay, never mind. I take that back.
But he
or he might have changed on Wednesday.
There you go.
Yeah, got it.
He wore red, blue, brown, and purple, and the most he wore was the purple.
It's a man plaid. After my own heart right there.
Dean only wore four, and they were blue and brown, and he wore mostly brown. And if you want a huggy, the hug count for season three. Only three hugs.
Really?
That's half of what they did in season two.
You'd think this would be the huggy season.
You would think as only three hugs.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
I know. That's my extra super tiddly bits. End of season tiddly bits.
Those are at the end of the season tiddly bits are my favorite tiddly bits. Because it's stuff that I don't necessarily think about, but it makes me kind of reflect on the season.
I know, you were pulling stuff from like episode six, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh yeah, that's right.
You'll be so happy. I made a note in my notes to mention what I mentioned once.
Oh, look at you going back.
I was like, I'm going to fucking do it this time.
I'm going to be prepared.
Yeah, I was like, I know I usually go, you know, I mentioned this a couple episodes ago last season, da da da. I was like, no, I'm getting references.
Oh, yeah.
Being professional, because that's what the people want.
That's what they come for. Oh, I guess I have to give you a plot. I was ready to talk about the episode. So I'm like, wait a minute.
we need to let them know what happened at the episode. I mean, for those that didn't watch and those that are just here for straight up slapstick entertainment.
That's exactly what this is. If we were together, I'd put a pie in your face.
Nailed it.
Okay, can I hit you with a plot? Not literally hit you, but okay. With only 30 hours left until Dean's contract ends, Bobby tracks Lilith to New Harmony, Indiana. Dean does not want to attack unprepared, but refuses to seek help from Ruby due to her ambiguous nature. Sam nevertheless secretly summons her and requests her demon-killing knife. Ruby claims that Sam's dormant psychic abilities can easily kill Lilith, who is on quote-unquote shore leave, and has her guard down. Sam considers the alternative, but Dean shows up and tricks Ruby into a devil's trap. The brothers take her knife and leave. Despite Dean's rebukes, Bobby insists that he go with them and points out Dean's hallucinations. With his demise approaching rapidly, Dean has begun piercing the veil, allowing him to glimpse the true forms of demons. When the trio arrives in New Harmony, they find that Lilith is possessing a young girl and terrorizing her family. As Bobby blesses a water line running to the sprinklers of Lilith's house, which was genius, by the way.
Oh my goodness, so smart.
So Bobby, classic Bobby.
Classic Bobby, knowing what he's doing, being a hunter and shit.
Sam and Dean dispatch some of the demons who have taken over the neighborhood. Ruby appears and angrily confronts them, but is stopped short by an oncoming horde of demons. Three of them run into the house as Bobby activates the sprinklers, creating a barrier of holy water. Sam finds the little girl sleeping and prepares to strike, but is stopped by Dean, who reveals that Lilith is no longer inside her. How shitty would that have been? By the way.
Well, I mean, we've already seen Sam just like straight up kill somebody.
That's true. And the mom was like, do it.
And that has to hurt for the mom too, to know like, well, cause she doesn't know that that's not her daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't know that she's gone.
It's demon. It's,
yeah.
And that has to hurt for her to be like, look, I saw her kill a bunch of people. This is not an innocent child. Just take my daughter. It's the best way.
Yeah. Grandma's still laying down in the entryway.
Is grandpa still face down in his cake?
Probably. Just sitting there at the table. As midnight approaches, Dean realizes that Lilith has taken over Ruby's host. Claiming to have sent Ruby far away, Lilith telekinetically pins the brothers down as her hellhounds maul Dean to death. Lilith then blasts Sam with white energy from her hand. Horrified to see that it has no effect, she flees her host before Sam can retaliate. A devastated Sam cradles Dean, whose soul is then shown in hell hanging from a vast landscape of chains and meat hooks.
Yeah, he was definitely attached.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it was rough, and then he was just yelling for everybody.
Anybody! Oh, so sad.
Also, that version of hell is way different than any other version of hell I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Which is like that vast, because usually you see hell and it's like, obviously it's got that red, purple, black kind of smoky hue, mm-hmm. and the occasional like lightning storm. But it's usually like there's ground and people are in cages or they're getting tortured. They're never just like hanging in the
Hanging.
vast abyss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't like that one bit. You know what I did like, though? Bobby's sweatshirt in this episode.
I don't remember Bobby's sweatshirt.
It was epic. It was like one of those 1990s sweatshirts that had like a bear on it.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't even remember that at all. My favorite thing is probably Dean seeing Ruby's face since he had the veil lifted. And he's just like, whew.
Yeah.
Sorry, I saw your face, your real face. You're one ugly bitch.
Let's play another Why Did Missy Write This Down in Her Notes?
Yeah, I was good at the last one, so maybe.
Slutty little Yoda.
Oh, man, Dean says it.
Okay.
The worst part is I didn't even have to Google that. I just... Yeah, he goes, so that's you, huh? Our slutty little Yoda.
Oh, yes, yes, okay.
It's what he says to Ruby, and she goes, Dean, charming as ever.
Is that when she calls him a dick? I really need to write down why I write it down.
No, Ruby looks to Sam and says, look, call me a bitch, hate me all you want, but I've never lied to you, Sam, not ever. And I'm telling you, you can save your brother, and I can show you how. And that's when Dean goes, so that's you, huh? Our slutty little Yoda. And she goes, Dean, charming as ever.
Is that when Dean punches her in the face?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So wrote, there you go.
I wrote, did you see Sam's face when Dean punched her? He's like, oh.
Which also hurts because I love this Ruby.
I know.
Oh, man.
The end, she's just laying there on the ground.
That hurts me so bad.
Bye, Blonde Ruby. In memoriam of Blonde Ruby.
That's what, in memoriam of Blonde Ruby. In memoriam, slutty little Yoda.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Where's my pen? Oh, I love how these just come together. Anyway.
Side tangent. Roll it back.
Dial it back.
Dial it on back. I thought this little girl just looked evil. Am I the only?
Yes. And this little girl, who is Sierra McCormick, was also on two Disney Channel shows.
Oh.
If you want to tie back to Kim Rhodes, who was on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah.
This little girl was on a show called Ant Farm, which is like about these smart kids. But then she was also on a show called Jessie, and her name on this show was Crazy Connie.
It fits.
Yeah. She's a little psycho in the show.
It definitely fits her.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know why I look at her. It's just like the way that she was talking, the way that she animated her face. I was like, she's evil.
Uber evil. The way she just hugs her dad with all the blood on her dress.
Mm. I was like, okay. And that would be me too, where he's just like, cake again?
Yeah. He's like, I would really like a carrot right now.
Yeah, he's like, anything. I literally now, my blood sugar is my actual blood.
Yes, my blood is just sugar. That's He goes outside, he starts eating grass. He's like, oh, vegetation.
Something. That's actually how they're mowing the lawn. Yeah. How they're using water.
They're like goats.
But that grandpa broke my heart.
When he passes his help me note.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way he steps over grandma when he walks back into the house. I was like, oh, we're not even allowed to pick her up. Grandma's just gonna lay there.
Gotta leave grandma.
Oh, this is also an episode where we get two famous Bobby quotes.
Ooh. Oh, wait. Okay, go ahead. I think I know one of them.
Do I look like
a ditchable prom date?
Do I look like a ditchable prom date to you?
Yes.
And family don't end with blood.
Oh.
Bobby.
I was losing myself the first time I saw it. Do I look like a ditchable prom date to you?
It's one of my favorite memes or gifs. GIFs. Giphy, Jiffies, whatever you call them.
The GIF GIF.
GIF GIF. All well said in his 1990s, like, black bear sweatshirt.
That's hilarious. I mean, I feel like that's what gives the digital prom date vibe.
Like, as a matter of fact, Bobby, I didn't want to say anything, but...
Well, when you're wearing that, it's kind of difficult.
You don't even have, like, a powder blue tux with some ruffles on it. Like, you're wearing a bear sweatshirt.
We're just going to have to leave you here, bud.
We're ditching you. Yeah. It's happening. As much as I don't want to admit that this is the end of Dean, it is really helpful that he can see demons' real faces.
Yes. But I also now, because he can see them, want to know what hellhounds look like.
Well, you'll find out later.
Yeah, but I want to know now.
I want to know right now. So you wanted something from Dean's point of view.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of just his clothes completely ripped off and blood squirting everywhere.
Everywhere. Ugh.
The squirts are a little comical to me at the end. Like, just the way you're like, choo, choo, choo.
Did you want something a little more realistic?
I think I was just thinking that because I didn't want to be so upset that he was getting mauled by a hellhound. So I had to find something, you know, funny about it.
Because all I'm thinking, and I don't know why, but all I can think of now, because we don't know what hellhounds look like, is that the hellhounds just look like the terror dogs from Ghostbusters.
Okay.
AKA the gatekeeper and the keymaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining the hellhounds actually look like now at this point.
I'll go with that. I was a little weird when Lilith and Ruby's body smooched up on Sam.
Because
in my head she was still like a 6-year-old girl
smooching up on Sam. Well, we get to see a different version of Lilith next season.
Right.
The next season.
Yeah.
We get to see a different version of Lilith. And she is not a little girl.
No.
Yeah, that was a little weird. But at the same time, I felt like, I don't know. Because I got questions for next season.
You're like,
Because, like, Lilith's up there in blonde Ruby's body, like, smooching up on Sam. But then Sam's, like, in bed with brunette Ruby. And I'm just like, were you, like, thinking the freaky deaky while she was helping you initially? Or is this just something new? I don't.
Well, I think once he got Bella out of his mind.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know what? You know what? I think after Jessica, he's just straight brunettes now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's like, I can't go back to blondes.
Can't do blondes again.
Nope. Brunette all the way.
Mm-hmm.
She's so much better.
Poor Sam.
Oh, poor Sam. Poor Dean.
Poor Dean. Poor Dean. He hurts my heart.
If no one knows, I watched this series entirely on Netflix until the last season. I could not have to wait how many months in between seasons if that was the finale.
It wasn't great.
I don't know how you guys did it. I feel bad for you.
We watched up through like season 8 or 9, my brother and I, that way.
Oh, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
And granted, I would rewatch it on the CW, but they like jumble the episodes.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, oh, I've seen this episode 8 times, but still can't get past season 3.
Oh, that would have been rough.
Oh, it was very sad. Très triste.
Poor Dean.
Poor Dean, indeed. I'm trying to think of any other takeaways from this episode. We find out demons have shore leave.
Yeah.
Who fucking thought that?
Like, she's a sailor, and she's...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess they would think that they're like they're knights or like demon knights or demon soldiers.
Okay.
Maybe. I can see that. Like, I don't support it, but like I can see it.
But while she was on shore leave, she called all the people back to defend her.
Did she call them back, or were they all just out there like kind of VIP like?
Like, we like she's a VIP her.
And she has a straight up just like horde of people protecting her at all costs because like she's like a head demon.
She's in the club. And one of those fancy couches, and she's got bottle service.
Yeah,
and
they're
just all
like,
the people standing around her, like, I'm with Lilith. Look at me, mm-hmm. I'm with Lilith.
Lilith picked me to take care of her.
They posted on their social media pages.
That's it.
Well, there's a way to find all the demons. They're posting to Instagram. Look at me, I'm with Lilith.
Classic Lilith.
Ugh. Ugh, ugh, ugh.
Very much. Apparently Lilith has a sweet tooth.
For Sam. I'm just kidding.
Ooh. Does she have a sweet tooth? Well, she had a sweet tooth for Sam.
And then she couldn't defeat Sam.
Until Sam said, not on my watch.
Mm-mm. I don't think so, Lilith.
Get out of here.
Bye-bye.
Just waves his hand, just like, not today, friend.
Wouldn't that have been cool if he was just like, pshoo, she like flew against a wall?
Oh, that would be awesome. Well, not yet. He's got to...
I know. He hasn't honed his...
I mean, he didn't even think... Well, I guess maybe one of the reasons he didn't think is he wanted to join Dean, so he was just going to kind of let her kill him.
Hmm. Maybe.
But then, you know, shit happens.
Some stuff goes down. you know.
There are some things that happen, and he finds out that he's immune to her bullshit, I guess.
I'm not going to take your BS, Lilith.
Not today, friend.
Foe.
You killed my brother, and then, like, this blonde bitch, we could have had a thing.
But not now.
Not now. She's just a husk of a human being, and my brother is currently puppy chow, so that's fucking cool.
What does he do with Dean?
They bury him.
Don't remember that part.
Yeah, because Bobby, I mean, spoiler alert, opening of Because I Work Ahead because I have problems and can't stop watching shit. Bobby wants to burn Dean the way that hunters die. And Sam says no, and he buries Dean with like a little cross.
So in case he can come back?
I guess, because I guess Sam tries for a long time to try and find a way to bring him back, so they wanted to keep his body. But, I mean, his body would be just literally puppy chow. It would just be, like, shreds. But, yeah, so that's what they do with Dean, is after he cries it out and stuff, they take his body back and bury him.
After he cries it out?
After he cries, you know, good cry.
After Sam gives you just a good cry.
You just need a good cry. Anything else?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I got anything else for this either. I think that's it. I think that's all I got for this. I thought it was kind of very anticlimactic for an end of a season. I mean, obviously we knew Dean from the beginning of the season was going to die.
Right.
Like that was going to happen. So I feel like it did everything it was supposed to do. And in doing so, it was just kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, I feel like this whole season, probably, you know, obviously because of the writer's strike and everything, was just rushed. Not a lot of development.
Yeah, agreed. But now that that part's over, should we get to the fun parts?
Now that that's over.
Now that that's over, let's get to the fun stuff.
This is why I put chapter markers in the in the recordings now. It's tiddly bit time!
Tiddly bit!
Oh, I like that.
I don't know where that came from, but we're going with it.
We might have to record that. We might have to take that part out and play it before every tiddly bit. It'd be fancy. Fancy
Welcome bits. To Mrs. Tiddly Bits. Tiddly Bits.
I like it. And I always do that too. And then I have to cut it out. I'm really good at spotting ums though, by the way.
Good, because I do it a lot.
I don't even like listen to it. I'm like out, out, out.
Out, damn spot, out. My dad always yells at me because he noticed that a lot of people start their sentences with so.
So like, oh my God.
And now it's just constantly in my head and I notice that I do it and I hate when I do it, but then I do it.
I know I do it too.
And I try to break myself, but you can tell because there's a part in the Falcon Winter Soldier that they've showed multiple times now because it was in the second episode where he goes, what's going on in that cyborg brain of yours? And he just starts like poking fun at Bucky because of his, you know, vibranium arm. And they obviously programmed him like a computer to be the Winter Soldier. But he goes, oh, I see the gears turning. Oh, they're malfunctioning. Yep, they're on fire. That's what I think of whenever I try to not start my sentences with so.
So.
Yeah. They're on fire.
No rest. I had to stop going,
No, it's going to be a struggle on this podcast from here on out.
God. No rest for the wicked is derivative of a Bible verse. There is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. That is Isaiah 48:22. It's also the album cover, or the album from Ozzy Osbourne released in 1988. So you get Bible and Ozzy all in one thing.
I mean, Black Sabbath.
The original title for this episode was No Quarter, which is a Led Zeppelin song title, before being changed to No Rest for the Wicked.
I wonder why they changed it.
I don't know. Why did you change it, Supernatural people? We know you listen.
Answer us.
We want to know. The drawing of the Hellhounds in the book is Cerberus by Todd Lockwood, who is famous for his art in Dungeons & Dragons books and Magic the Gathering cards.
That makes sense.
Dean's driver's license is under the name Hagar, Sammy Hagar is a hard rock singer slash guitarist best known for his 1984 hit I Can't Drive at 55 and as David Lee Roth's replacement in Van Halen. He also makes tequila, in case you were wondering.
He does. We went to his Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles.
Was it good?
Surprisingly, yeah.
Cool. Sam and Dean singing Wanted Dead or Alive in this episode. That, by the way, was such a hard scene, too, because, like, Dean's trying to get, like, Sam into the song, and then as soon as Sam gets in the song, Dean just, like, his face just becomes so serious and, like...
And so sad. Because, like, he's having that moment with his brother, and they're singing, but they're singing, like, his song without it.
Sam takes the Richie Sambora part.
Really loud.
Really loud. So then singing that in this episode calls back to season 2, episode 14, Born Under a Bad Sign, when the possessed Sam listens to Bon Jovi. The album from which the song is taken is titled Crossroad, another possible nod towards Dean's deal with the Crossroads demon. And I know we've mentioned this before, but I put it in again. Jared Padalecki starred in a movie, Cry Wolf, alongside John Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
I love me some Bon Jovi.
Who doesn't love them Bon Jovi? Don't answer if you don't like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, we don't want to know.
Plot twist, no one likes Bon Jovi.
What?
Actually, I watched the episode later on in Sex and the City just because Bon Jovi was in it.
Dean mentions going to Tijuana and catching a donkey show.
Oh, God. I think I committed that past my memory right out.
This indelicate and possibly imaginary show involves a flexible prostitute, a strong bracing frame, and an aroused donkey.
I think that is the classiest description of what that is.
Which is more than I ever wanted to know. Since 1915, there have been vague accounts of a woman dying when the frame collapses. This tragedy witnessed by prominent town leaders who declare they must either ban such deplorable acts or mandate stronger frames. I like how it's like, it's okay that this happens, but you need to build a stronger frame or just not do it at all.
Yeah, like those are your only options.
It's not like this is gross and shouldn't happen.
You shouldn't, yeah.
At all. Since the 1930s, this act and many other depraved practices have been unjustly associated with Tijuana. But they're saying it happens. I guess it's Tijuana, not Tijuana, huh? I added a extra syllable. That's just bleh, gross. Okay.
Moving on.
Pretend you didn't hear that.
On it.
Oh my God, that poor lady.
Dead or alive. Oh.
She can't walk these streets anymore. I'm pretty sure after that she wouldn't be able to.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of stuff that can't. Okay, well.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, we already have a title for this episode. I'm not changing it. In this episode, Sam tells Dean he totally should have been jamming his goodbye speech to Eye of the Tiger. And Dean does eventually jam to that very song in season 4, episode the episode Yellow Fever, which is just amazing.
I've decided with TikTok I'm gonna remake that.
Oh my God,
I've joked about remaking it. I know everything that he does.
I
just have never done it because I'm too picky and I'm like, I want the doesn't exactly do the justice of me coming out of my Corolla.
You need the Impala.
But like, I'll do it.
I just want to see you play your leg like a guitar. That's what I'm waiting for. Ruby compares a futile knife attack against Lilith to quote-unquote hitting Hitler with an exploding briefcase. On July 20th, 1944, at a top-level Nazi military conference, a briefcase containing 2.2 pounds of plastic explosives was placed near Hitler's seat. However, a sturdy table leg between Hitler and the bomb shielded him from the blast. That's a pretty beefy leg.
Yeah, seriously.
If it stops the blast from this briefcase. The meeting was to take place in the Wolf's Lair, a concrete bunker with a steel door and no windows, but was moved to a wooden bunker above ground. Two bombs were set to be used, but only one was able to be armed. Had the meeting taken place in the concrete bunker, the shrapnel would have killed everyone near the bomb, including Hitler.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
It's okay. Dean punches Hitler later.
He does more than that. And he's really happy about it.
And he doesn't let you forget.
Nope. The cop that pulls over Sam and Dean is wearing a 60s style police uniform. When they hid the cop car later, you see the car, the number of 54 on the car. Car 54, Where Are You? From 1961 was a sitcom that starred Fred Gwynne and Al Lewis, both of whom were also in The Munsters.
Fred was Herman, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah. Fred Gwynne was Herman. And I think Al Lewis is the grandfather. Yeah, I think that's who they are. I didn't look them up, but I could.
I was going to say, is my tittle a bit wrong?
No.
Don't tell me that.
No, it's correct. I was just trying to figure out who they were in The Munsters, and I think that's Al, yeah.
These are facts, Liz. They are taken from IMDb, where no one can lie.
And no one can add or subtract from. They live on.
Exactly. It's like Wikipedia.
Yes.
1953, Jerome Bixby wrote It's a Good Life. In 1961, Rod Serling adapted it as an episode of The Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone, It's a Good Life, set the pattern for anyone depicting a willful, capricious child with godlike powers and the captive, terrified adults who must smile and think nice thoughts or get turned inside out.
Ooh.
Inside out.
I mean, Lilith kills them, so.
Yeah. Do you remember on Nickelodeon, there was Inside Out Boy?
Yes.
Where he flipped over the bar of the swing set, and he turned inside out, and then he was like a superhero or something. I tried to explain that to Aubrey, and she's like, what? I was like, no, it was like this little clay thing. You really need to see it. Literally, his guts were on the outside.
You don't understand.
This was classic. Lilith's everyday birthday with its candy meal is stylistically similar to the one of the vignettes in Twilight Zone, the movie. It includes both dialogue and plot references. This movie's third segment, or just spit, sorry, It's a Good Life, is directed by Joe Dante. Like you could tell. After one of the characters is caught trying to pass a note saying help, Anthony's a monster. Much like the grandfather did at the mailbox, Anthony wishes him away, unlike Lilith, who breaks her grandfather's neck. I think it's a little different to wish someone away and then, or snap their neck.
Yeah, there's just like a minor difference.
A little different. This episode takes place on May 1st and 2nd of 2008. So, in fact, Dean dies on Sam's 25th birthday.
That's so sad. Oh my God.
Lip quiver. Poor Sammy.
Congratulations, you get cheaper car insurance, but your brother's dead.
You think Sam has car insurance?
I hope they do. Or at least that he's under Dean's car insurance, which is probably fake.
Oh my goodness.
But now he's going to have to get his own because Dean's going to leave the car and it's now Sam's car because Dean's dead on his 25th birthday.
It just made it so much worse. It's so sad.
It's so sad. Can't tell right now by our reactions, but it's so sad.
It's that nervous laugh, like you want to cry, but you're laughing.
Because we can't, I don't want to cry.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Marking the final appearance of Katie Cassidy as the demon Ruby, the episode was originally intended to feature the return of Samantha Ferris as recurring character Ellen Harvell. The writers initially intended that Sam would save Dean by giving in to his demonic abilities, but the 2007-2008 Writers Guild of America strike prevented the development of the storyline throughout the season. Dean is instead killed. The final scene of him in hell was the most complicated shot the visual effects department has ever done.
Wow.
It's crazy. Tying with that, Jensen Ackles described the shooting of the final scene of Dean in hell. He said it was miserable. I spent about 4 hours in prosthetics because all of the hooks and pieces through the wrists and cuffs and everything. And once I was done, I walked on stage and they hooked me up. Cuffs around both wrists and both ankles, and then just a belt harness around my waist. So I was wired up with 5 different wires. 5 guys wrenched me up about 13 feet in the air. I had so much fake blood all over me. The harness slipped and the buckle was piercing into my hip. I'm hanging there, all of my weight on this one buckle digging into my hip, and I hung there for what felt like ages, and it got so bad that the tears were rolling down my face, and I was like, let me down. You gotta let me down. It was tough, but it turned out to be a really cool shot. Was it necessary, not necessarily, 13 feet? You couldn't have done that like 6 feet, or like 2 feet. Like
maybe they had to get some air below him and stuff.
But it's all computer animated, but like, you know, generated behind him. Clearly they were not in hell, obviously.
No, no, they were not in hell.
13 feet though, that's a lot.
Why did it have to be 13? I feel like that's
six
a number.
Six would have been sufficient.
And you definitely know? Had like a safety net or you had a mat below there.
Well, you would hope. Because clearly his harness wasn't doing its job.
No. It was not.
My last tiddly bit of season 3. According to the book Supernatural, the official companion season 3, the original version of the final scene would have placed Dean in a really nasty, bloody slaughterhouse hanging from meat hooks. Ugh, that would have been gross.
I mean, he already was hanging from meat hooks.
Yeah. But I mean, there'd be like a slaughter. Ugh. Here, Dean would start screaming as shadows fell over him. Discussions between Eric Kripke, Kim Manners, and Ivan Hayden led to the decision to present quote-unquote one epic glimpse of hell. Though the scene matched with many versions of chains and people being ripped apart, art director John Marcinek felt they should have made it a little more mysterious and dark. He commented, "My opinion is the vaguer the better, because you let the imagination take over. People have different fears, and hell's such a personal torment."
See, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm that way with horror movies, too. Like, don't always show me the monster. Like, show me his teeth. Show me his claws. Don't show me, like, the full thing, because it's much more creepy if you create that in your own mind.
Right. Yeah. I like the suspense of... Yeah, being able to make it up on your own. Yeah, I like that. Okie dokie. Now it's over to Liz.
Whoop. It's me.
It's me, Liz.
I have things to say. All right. So I could have done a bunch of other stuff, and I decided not to. But apparently the one I chose was way less information than I thought I was going to get.
Oh, okay.
I did Lilith.
There's not a lot on Lilith?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought there would be, and there is like not, unless you go into like the nooks and crannies of Lilith, I guess.
You go into the English muffin of Lilith.
Yeah, like she's definitely an onion. There are layers. She's like a parfait, a demonic parfait.
A Shrek.
Yeah. So I used Britannica, Learn Religion, MyJewishLearning.com, History, Faculty.Washington.edu, and BiblicalArchaeology.org.
Demonic parfait hit me a little late because I was just thinking of Shrek and then I'm like, a demonic parfait. I like
she's
that better.
She's like a little demonic parfait.
She's like a 7-layer salad.
Mm-hmm. She's like a 7-layer heaven fell, hell raised salad.
I could just see her in one of those glass bowls, you know, where you can see all the layers.
Yes.
You're like, shut
that
up, let me.
That is Lilith right there. All right, so Lilith comes from the Sumerian word Lilu, meaning female demon or vampire, or wind spirits. So Lilu comes Mesopotamian demon class. Lilitu is the feminine version and translates to night monster.
Oh, wait, night like K-N or N?
N.
Okay.
Night monster. So the story goes that Eve was created from Adam's ribs, which is Genesis 2:22, but... A lot of people believe that Lilith was implied in Genesis 1:27 when they mentioned that a female and a male Adam, obviously, were made from the same soil. Lilith wasn't actually ever mentioned until the Alphabet of Ben Sira, circa 800s to 900s, which is an anonymous text inspired by Ben Sira, who wrote the Book of Sirach, who also is a Jewish scribe. And this is the basis of the origin of Lilith's tale, naming Lilith as Adam's first wife. So it never really was mentioned in the Bible of Lilith as being Adam's first wife. It was actually only mentioned, and she was only mentioned firstly in the Book of Sirach.
I mean, even the first marriage didn't work out.
The Alphabet of Ben Sira. Well, here's what happened according to the Alphabet of Ben Sira. So Lilith and Adam were created at the same time from the same clay. However, Lilith refused to be subservient to Adam.
Well, yeah.
Mainly. And if you have very sensitive ears, cover them. Mainly that Adam liked to be on top when having sex. And Lilith wanted to be on top. And this is real. This is what it says.
Wait a minute. We talked about donkey shows, and you're like, wait a minute, cover your ears.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah, so what ended up happening is Lilith wanted to be on top, and Adam said, nah. And Lilith goes, well, why the fuck can't I be on top? And Adam said, because I'm always on top. And she says, okay, fuck this shit, I'm out.
He just wants that vanilla kind of love.
Yep. So she ended up fleeing, but was tracked by three angels sent by God to bring her back. And they are Senoi, Sansenoi, and Semengalov. And they tried in vain to bring her back, and they eventually confronted her at the Red Sea, where she also refused to be brought back. So they kind of struck a deal that anytime that she refused to come back, they would kill 100 children.
Oh.
Until she returned.
Well, that's not nice.
Nope. Nope. Not at all.
She was just trying to be a strong, independent woman.
She just wanted to be a dom. She was a dom, obviously.
She didn't say all the time. She just said it would be nice if, you know.
Yeah, like she just wanted to change it up.
Yeah. Ugh.
So she later became known as the Queen of Demons.
Well, you made her that way. I'm just saying. Not you.
It's true.
But like.
And she's known for attacking children. In fact, she was held responsible for the deaths of stillborn infants, as well as crib deaths, like SIDS.
Oh, man.
Now, she usually only attacks infants who are known as the Children of Eve.
Oh, okay.
And males are at risk up to 8 days after birth, which is usually when they're circumcised. Females, however, are at risk to be attacked by Lilith for up to 20 days after birth.
Wow.
Now, according to some mythology, her demonic offspring were actually sired by the archangel Samael, and that's where the succubi and incubi come from.
Oh, really?
However, there are some other mythologies who say that she just simply seduces human men at night, and that's where her children come from.
Oh, okay.
Now, she's been compared to the Striga of Rome, which was first mentioned season 1, episode 18, Something Wicked. Told you I'd get it.
We just talked about that today.
I know, which is why as soon as you said that, I was like, just wait. the Striga's making a comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Emperor Strikes Back. Oh, I had to go there. Okay. Now, there are certain ways people believe you can protect your infants from Lilith, such as hanging amulets to protect children from Lilith. These were sometimes worn by pregnant women to obviously protect the infant from stillbirths, as well as being hung in nurseries, such as in the corners, kind of like the demon bowls. When they would be buried under the corners, these amulets would be hung in corners of the infant's room. And sometimes there was text written on walls with ink that was mixed with holy incense and written by a religious figure. And a lot of these amulets and these writings would contain the name of the three angels who were sent to bring Lilith back.
Oh, okay.
Now, she changed from 800s to 900s after the alphabet of Ben-Sira to the 19th century when she was more considered a siren.
Oh,
she was mentioned in Faust, Part 1, by Johann Wolfgang in 1808, or Johann Wolfgang von Goethe in 1808, where he said, Adam's wife, his first, beware of her. Her beauty's one boast is her dangerous hair. When Lilith winds it tight around young men, she doesn't soon let go of them again. Dante Gabriel, in 1863... created a painting called Lady Lilith and is quoted as saying the witch he loved before Eve.
Oh, what?
And in his painting, right? This is just straight up just.
Why you gotta call her names?
Shaming. In the painting, she's surrounded by white roses and poppies, which were generally tied to being symbols of death and sterility. And by the 20th century, she had another change where she became a feminist icon.
Okay.
Because she didn't take no shit from no man.
Nope.
Most myths have her represent chaos, seduction, and ungodliness.
Oh, my goodness.
And according to some other mythologies, her breasts are actually filled with poison, not milk. Again, to help kill infants, meaning that she can no longer have children. Lilith is also mentioned in the Sumerian poem Gilgamesh and the Hulupi Tree, which was out around 2000 BCE. And she is, in that story, one of the villains. She also appears in the Dead Sea Scrolls found in Qumran in the Song for the Sage, which also, in theory, is a hymn potentially used in exorcisms.
Oh.
To tie her back to demons.
Interesting.
So that's the thing. Lilith, depending on which side you have of her, is a ton of stuff, but she's never really mentioned in the Bible, so it's not like a basis. And certain religions, she doesn't come again until Ben Sira. And the Jewish faith talks more about her than anything else.
Lilith was just trying to have a good time.
She was just a strong, independent woman trying to do her thing.
They were afraid of her.
They were. Adam was. He was like, no.
She didn't want
Nope.
that vanilla kind of love. She wanted to spice it up. Rude.
Yep.
Always trying to bring the ladies down.
How rude.
I'm sure he would have liked that.
So after this, we're taking a break.
We are taking a break. Our in-between season hiatus. Last time it was haunted hiatus. I don't. What is it going to be now? Spring fling. When are we going to be back?
Would this be considered a hellhound hiatus?
Oh yes.
Like, essentially we're just Dean in hell for like a month of,
Our hell hiatus.
and then we will be back with season 4, episode 1, Lazarus Rising.
How exciting! April 25th would be our first one back.
I feel like that's good.
Okay,
Sorry, I
works.
was reading the episode 2. Are you there, God? It's me, Dean Winchester. Thanks, guys, so much for listening to us.
Thank you.
Like us, share us. Obviously, you guys can send us messages and stuff, even though we aren't recording and putting out episodes for the next 2 weeks.
We're still going to be active on social media. Liz is going to be busting out TikToks.
Yep. So you're in for treats there, because I don't even know what's going to happen.
Gonna be magic, whatever it is.
It's gonna be something.
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May. If we could do that the first episode back. Nailed it. All right, guys. So you guys can hit us up on there. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you guys in 2 weeks.
Happy Easter for
Happy
those of you who
Easter.
celebrate Easter.
And hopefully you're not stuck in too many April showers.
But hopefully they'll bring May flowers.
Yeah.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBN Balls Pod or email sbnballspod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.